You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on this very first day of May 2013. On the phone line with us from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County is Jackie Vakes. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was kind of an interesting day again in Chicago. Volatility has returned, I suppose, at least for this week. An up day, a down day, an up day, a down day. Which way are we going to go?
Well, how about an up day, an uptime, a downtime all throughout the day. I mean, you know, it's been like that. We did have old crop corn higher until we got to the close today. And I think when you look at the big picture, we're seeing that spread between May and July widen. It's now at 35 cents on settlements. That says to me that we probably, you know, they've shifted to buying off of the July contract, but we are seeing good basis numbers out there. So I think that basis is doing its job both in corn and beans. We also didn't have any deliveries, again, in corn and beans. But I do think we're getting closer to the date for some of those longs that held it through first notice day. And so, you know, we saw corn down in May earlier in the day, then came back up, closed just slightly down. We saw beans down most of the day today. You know, came back up pretty strong and then ended down 30 and a quarter in May. And I think that's just a function of, because they didn't believe there were going to be deliveries, now these guys who held long are jumping out because it's getting close to the date where they could be delivered against. You know, there's also farmer selling that's developed, and that's true in both corn and beans and somewhat in wheat, but more so in corn and beans. So this crazy weather we've got going on is just, I think, driving people nuts. But we've got farmers on the land in Illinois. There's just almost a myriad of things that you can look at that are impacting this market.
Let's take up the beans a bit more, because they were off 30 in the nearby and the November contract down 14 cents. Is there much of a move afoot at all, do you think? Or is it just perception that there will be more soybean acres?
I think it's perception more than anything else. You know, every time China came out today and had a bad purchasing managers index, Dave and I talked about it this morning, and, you know, every time we've seen something like that happen, they immediately believe that China now is probably going to cancel some more old crop beans, may not have the money to buy new crop beans, and the reality never seems to turn out to be that, but that is the perception. When you look at the basis spread between the May-July contract today, you know, it's around 64 cents. Or 64 and a half, I guess, actually, on the settlement. And so there, too, I think that basis is doing its job and we're seeing some head selling. But I don't believe, I just don't believe that there's that many beans that are out in the country. And the fact that we've seen basis get better says to me, on old crop, there's still a huge need for that. And if they do not reach their goals by the time that the May contract goes off, the middle of the month, and even though they're not paying against the May contract, it is very likely that we will see the July contracts try and come up toward the level that May goes off. They need that grain. When it comes to beans, I think that we're going to be somewhat limited as to how low we can go right now. Today we went down to 1206, you know, which is psychological support, because we need to plant bean acres. There's no question about that. We have extremely tight bean stocks. And so, you know, everything is in flux. At this point, it's interesting. I talked to one of our guys from Oklahoma this afternoon. He said his corn froze off three times, and this is way down in Oklahoma. They've had three good days that have been warm, and now it's starting to put little leaves on again, but it's still way behind. So nobody else, trade won't care about any of that until we get further down the road.
Hey, speaking of Oklahoma, there's a wheat tour in place at this time.
Yeah, and I had to kind of giggle today, and it had an impact on the market. You know, they came out with a 43.8 bushel per average estimate. But they did admit most of it really looked good in North Carolina. Not so great out in the West, and they haven't even reached the really poor areas. So it's going to be interesting to find out what they actually, well, that's if they can find it with all the snow that fell out there in Nebraska today. I'm sure in a few days they'll be able to find more of it. Just to give you an idea of how it varies, the same fellow I was talking to from Oklahoma said his wheat actually looks pretty good. He's surprised, but it's very short. It's doing well. But not that far from his area, they're baling all the wheat. And so I think the tour will give us more of a picture, if they get into those areas, of reality. But I don't think anyone truly trusts wheat. Wheat is a very resilient crop. It can handle a lot, even if it's short. And it'll just be how can you project a yield when you've got a crop that's at least 2 to 6 weeks later than we were a year ago?
On the weather front, because you talked about freezing in parts of the wheat growing regions, and then, of course, we have wet weather here that's kept us out of the field for a while. And in parts of Minnesota, along the Red River there in North Dakota as well, I guess they split the state, so it's
right,
on both sides.
Right.
We're looking at a river that may crest maybe earlier than suspected. I guess that could be good news.
I think it's great news, to be honest with you. You know, they thought that the flooding on the Red River this year was probably going to be historic, just like the fact that they didn't hit 50 until a week ago. You know, the thing that is good, I guess, is this heavy snow that's going through is only going to maybe clip a little part of the Red River Valley. It looks like it's going to stay more south of that. It's totally across Nebraska. And I have a niece who lives in Minneapolis, and she's saying 5 to 9 inches severe weather, winter storm warning for tonight, and then returning back up to more normal temperatures again. So, you know, the reality is Nebraska needs the rain and any kind of moisture. They'll take it in Nebraska. It still slows down planting, but it's kind of ironic, Todd. At this time of year, rain that keeps us out of the field is really bad stuff. But the minute we get out there and start to plant, suddenly it's really good. So I think that's the quandary that the market is in right now, trying to figure out, is it going to be something that's really going to be beneficial to us, or is it something that's really going to hurt us?
Turn your attention to the livestock market now as we finish up our conversation. Cattle market's been pretty hot lately.
Well, I think you can say that coincides right with the temperatures that we're seeing. Today we saw the cattle market, you know, kind of tepid at the beginning. It wasn't exactly in a mood for moving higher, it seemed like. And then suddenly, you know, we looked at boxed beef. We had the highest prices on boxed beef in the last 7 weeks today. And it went down, you know, tested close to the 20-day moving average on June. Couldn't find any extra selling and suddenly bounced back. And when it got up there and it decided that it really wanted to go through the 50-day moving average, holy smokes, was there a lot of buying. And by the time we settled down to where we are right now, we're right back at that 50-day moving average. But I think all of it is related to the idea that we're going to be doing more grilling. And one of the things that is in the background of the cattle market, and I think our cattle listeners should certainly take heed of this, the dairy market is going to be impacted heavily by the lack of pasture and the lack of alfalfa hay. You know, we don't have a lot of hay that has grown very well out in the West, which is a big supplier to the dairy markets. And now here, yesterday, one of the guys that's in Wisconsin, expanding from 1,200 to 2,500 cows, went out and walked every alfalfa field, and he did not have one field that survived, even though he fertilized them in the fall. And so that is one kink we could see coming into the livestock market. If this is more widespread, that we could see some cow liquidation, which, of course, impacts more the hamburger market than anything, but it puts a lot extra beef on the marketplace.
It's always good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Same here. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. That is Jackie Vake. She's with Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County.